WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
For the first time in 4 years, the President of the United States is visiting Indiana, not just Indiana, the capital of Indiana, Indianapolis, the heart of the hood, and for the first time ever, a President of the United States is visiting Ivy Tech Community College. We are live from Ivy Tech in what is used to be the old Stouffer's Hotel, where the President of the United States is expected to speak in about an hour and 20 minutes. So about 300 people are standing here saying, is this the show? Is this the entertainment? Yes, this is the pregame show for President Barack Obama. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for Friday, February the 6th, 2015. And 10 years ago, this program had the privilege of bringing a live address of the President of the United States. That is when President George W. Bush spoke live at Indiana Black Expo. And we are expecting not only the President to make some comments about the middle class and improving the middle class, he will also brag a little bit about strong employment numbers that were released this morning by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And he will also talk about, hey, free community college for all, which has got at least the students here at Ivy Tech excited. The President is expected to speak a little bit after 2 o'clock. And in our first hour, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to talk to some of the VIPs that are sitting here going, we got another hour before the President comes. As well as all of you at 239-1310, 239-1310. But what better way to begin with, I've got the President of our City County Council. I've got one of our state legislators, and I've got the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Indiana here, Sue Ellsberman. This is exciting regardless of a party to have a President of the United States, first of all, in our state, but for the first time at this particular institution of higher learning.
We are so happy to have the President here in the state of Indiana, and we're so proud of Ivy Tech Community College. It really is one of the largest in the nation. It has proven to make a tremendous difference in Indiana, and it's changing the lives of so many people.
And even the President's proposal, some of the President's proposal we already do in Indiana with 21st Century Scholars, because that at least covers the tuition cost. And if that student is able to get a Pell Grant, that's kind of sort of a free community college education.
We're very proud. In Indiana, we are 6th or 7th in the nation for the support that we provide our students. So we're very proud of that. And what we did in the legislature last year was adding some accountability to those 21st Century Scholars, asking them to take a full load of 30 credit hours in a year. And guess what? When we did that, we saw a 50% increase in the hours that those students took and the completion. And we think that's important, too, that we want students to graduate. It's not just about getting to college. It's graduating in a reasonable amount of time and then moving on with your career. So I think Indiana's doing many things right that we think the rest of the nation can learn from as well.
State Representative John Bartlett, this institution has, other than your own Martin University, has one of the highest percentages of minority students, actually the highest percentage of minority students other than Martin University of any institution of higher learning in the state. How important is it for this President to show the respect to Ivy Tech to be here today?
I think it's a wonderful thing, Amos. Education is the key. And for any child to get a quality education in any institution is a wonderful thing. And to have a sitting president to recognize that, I think, is awesome.
In terms of what he's going to be talking about today, obviously he's going to be talking about community colleges. He's also going to be talking about the unemployment numbers, continued strong growth in employment, and a little bit of some evidence that maybe wages are starting to trend up. Finally.
That's good, and I hope that hits Indiana as well. But if you, as I heard one of my former colleagues, Representative Crawford, say, we're resource-driven, and if you don't have the resources, so many things you have to go without, and education would be one of them. And hopefully we can do some things with education and with the resources, with strong job growth, to strengthen our communities and really help our communities.
And Maggie Lewis, President of the City County Council, the President has not been here in 4 years. He's got another full year and 10 months left to go. There is some maybe melancholy feeling that this could be the president's last visit to Indianapolis as president. You're hoping maybe to hold up a sign saying, come back a couple more times before the end of 2016.
You know, I am so excited and honored that the president chose to come to our great state and our great city. I'm hoping that he will come back and visit us again. But again, it's such an honor to have him in our city.
Let me ask you a particular city issue. Republicans on the City County Council are introducing a proposed ordinance on Monday to try to push up and hurry up this whole situation with the Indy Justice Center. Is it the feeling of the Democrats on the council that this thing needs to be done right, slowed down, and let's take a hard look if we're going to invest billions of dollars over the next 35 years?
Absolutely. There is no rush for us to do this. We have to make sure that, first of all, we're being transparent with the information that's out there or not out there, and so we need to still get the information. And two, we just need to have an honest debate about the Justice Center. Is what been proposed is what we need. You know, we need to talk to the sheriff. We need to talk to our mayor candidates. There's so much more that we need to look at.
Today, Representative Bartlett, is an opportunity for ordinary Hoosiers, particularly the students here at Ivy Tech, to ask questions. And usually whenever a president does a town hall, whether it's been former presidents or this current president, the best questions come from the folk.
Absolutely, Amos. And, you know, I was asked by a high school student once, when you die, what do you want your legacy to be? And I said, on my tombstone, I want an ordinary person that did extraordinary things. And that's the way I want to be recognized. That's why I recognize these students here at Ivy Tech, ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
And I know, Lieutenant Governor, the governor is sitting out at the airport waiting for Air Force One to land. He's going to be greeting the president. He's come down. Can we assume he's going to be saying, thank you, Mr. President, for allowing a HIP 2.0?
I think you will. I think we feel that the federal government really did work with us as a state to make that waiver reality. And right now, 350,000 Hoosiers are getting to benefit from really a better plan, a better than Medicaid, a better opportunity to have that consumer-driven health care. So we're very pleased with the president's help.
So now you guys are all stuck here. For the next couple, what are y'all gonna do until the president comes here? Is this also an opportunity? Because there are a lot of VIPs here. There are members of the board of Ivy Tech, other state officials, members of the legislature, both Democrat and Republican. Is this an opportunity to maybe get some conversations done if you miss people on the email or the phone calls?
Well, Amos, your show is on from 1 to 3. We can just talk on your show for the next couple hours.
I can only stay here till the traveling press comes, which is the cue that the president is in the House. State Representative John Barton, we may come back to you. Lieutenant Governor Sue Ellsberg, I had Maggie Lewis, President of the City County Council. I got to get to Sister Carson over here, because Miriam Carson, because your husband is flying in on the big plane.
Yes, he is.
Which does that save a little money? Means he gets the luggage off the plane faster?
I think it means exactly that. I think it probably saves more money for the 7th District than anything.
Does he bring, when he's flying on the plane, does he bring back, like, you know, souvenirs and stuff?
Well, he does bring back the napkins, the M&Ms, and all the things with all the...
I thought about these special M&Ms.
Yeah, they're very special. They taste the same, but the box is special.
Oh, it's a special box.
It's got the White House insignia on it, and it's exciting. It's exciting. So every time, whenever he's been on Air Force One, it's always like the first time, and he's very excited about it, and I expect to see the napkins and the M&Ms tonight.
See, I want you to know, all the VIPs suddenly realize there's a show going on. We get a pre-show entertainment. Let me see if, and one of the problems of being over here is there is this invisible boundary that I cannot cross, because there are very hard-working volunteers who are doing a great job trying to keep the aisle free and whatever. And I'm trying to get the attention of our superintendent of public instruction, Glenda Ritz. If I can get her attention and she can move, come on, move. See, I want the superintendent to know this is part of the entertainment value today. Superintendent, it's good to see you. How important is this in terms of a sitting president lifting up an Indiana institution of higher learning?
Oh my gosh, it's wonderful, actually. And we need to be sure that we're headed in a direction where we are looking at post-secondary support for students to be able to be sure that students are going to be able to have any kind of career that they want to have.
There, you all had a state board meeting. that there wasn't any drama, but it was long. Was that a record meeting? It was like 10, 12 hours?
Well, we've had a couple of those really long meetings, and we had a lot of public input at the meeting. We had about 50 speakers, I believe, and so I welcome the public to speak on any topic, and so that really extended the length of the meeting itself.
The state board is still evaluating whether they will allow IPS to regain operational control of Arlington High School or whether it's going to be some hybrid. How important is it for IPS to now brief the community as to what those options are? What's before the state board?
Well, the State Board of Education has asked for a very specific, detailed plan. So that was really the direction it was headed at the State Board of Ed, and we are looking forward to getting that perhaps at the next month.
So there really wasn't a detailed plan, because I think some in the community thought, okay, IPS would take over Arlington, and then maybe they would downsize the activities or whatever the education is at John Marshall. But you all have not seen a detailed step one, step two, step three from IPS?
Well, I think what Dr. Farabee presented was an actual, here's what we are doing to transition the students back to IPS. But the board is requesting is a really detailed plan on what the whole transition looks like and how you're going to be responsible for making sure we have quality education and the whole plan. You know, what are the benchmarks? How are we going to know that we're making progress? I think they're wanting a very detailed plan.
Superintendent of Public Instruction, Glenda Ritz, always good to see you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And now she continues the wait for the president. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. It's live coverage of the town hall meeting and the address by the President of the United States. He's expected to speak in the 2 o'clock hour. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for a Friday.
Hello, this is King Ro Conley, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
We're back live at what used to be the old Stouffer's Hotel back in the day. That is now the Ivy Tech Conference Center and Culinary Arts Facility here at the Ivy Tech Central Campus, main campus here on North Meridian Street. And you can assume that traffic on North Meridian Street, anywhere between 29th Street, 30th Street, and Fall Creek, Meridian in Illinois, is going to be tied up for the next couple of hours because of the president's visit. And State Senator Earlene Rogers, the pride of Northwest Indiana, is in the house to see her president. First of all, how important is it for a president of the United States to speak at a campus like Ivy Tech?
It's extremely important. I think we in Indiana are very proud of our system here, community college system here, and I happened to be here when it first got started. And so to have the president to speak on one of the campuses, I think it sends a powerful message, not only across the state of Indiana, but across these United States.
I've not had the privilege this session yet of talking with any of the members of the delegation from the region, from Northwest Indiana, from our friends. What are the issues that you guys are concerned with in the legislature?
Well, we've got several issues, but of course at the top of our agenda, I guess that's one thing we have in common with the governor is education. We certainly have been involved in the pre-K pilot educations. We're concerned about the school funding formula. And so I think that Barack's coming here kind of puts an exclamation point behind what we're trying to get done. And so we're always involved with that. Of course, we've got some other issues, dealing with some of the legislation that's coming through that we think is going to be negative to the communities that we represent. But as a delegation, we've been here. Most of us have been within the legislature for quite some time and looking forward to see what we can do for those we represent.
In the debate yesterday in the House over this bill to continue to strip away powers from the elected superintendent of public instruction, it got real emotional over there. Representative Piloff, the leader of the Democrats, came right up to that borderline of, what is it, there's some rule of you can't impugn somebody's integrity, and the speaker kind of looked at him funny, but I thought Representative Piloff was standing up for his folk.
Absolutely, and I think those of us who have watched the debacle between the State Board of Education and our state superintendent are just not only surprised, but it's something that we should be ashamed of that's happening in Indiana. With all of the things we have been trying to do with education reform, for them to spend time dealing with a power struggle, I think it doesn't bode well for students, and absolutely doesn't bode well for anybody that's interested in young people achieving in the state.
There now is people shocked and surprised at how many hours our third through eighth graders spend taking I-STEP tests. You can take a test to go to college, the ACT and the SAT, that's a four-hour test, and they're talking about testing our kids 10, 12, 13 hours. Could this little piece of information start the backlash that we got to cut some of this stuff down?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, if they would just spend some time listening to teachers in the classroom who have been telling them for the past several years that they do more teaching than they do testing. And it certainly hasn't led to any achievement levels among the students. But I think we need to take a moratorium on education in this state and just not pass any bills dealing with education. I think, and just take a look at what we've done, assess that data, and then see what we need to move forward on. But year after year, the teachers, they're upset. There's chaos in the classrooms, and it just is not good for what we're trying to get done here in Indiana. We talk about education being important, and it does. It's at the bottom of whether or not our economy grows. I mean, it's the linchpin for so many things. And for us to keep trying to change it and to turn over some of the things we've done in education to outside interest, I think certainly has been a disservice to not only students but to educators, too.
I got to ask you, this is President Obama's third visit to Indianapolis out of the 7 he's made to Indiana. He's been to Elkhart once, he's been to South Bend once, spoke at Notre Dame. He landed at the Gary Airport, proving that, yes, Air Force One could get in there. Are y'all going to be working, maybe hit him in the back room after the speech, saying, before you leave office, you need to come to the real part of Northwest Indiana?
Yes, I have that message for him exactly. I was his first district campaign manager in Northwest Indiana, and worked very closely with a lot of people who are now in his administration out of Chicago. And so we consider ourselves that corner of the state that when the votes came in, it was a first for Indiana in a long, long time, I think since LBJ, in which we turned this red state into a blue state.
I can tell you, because this is part of the public information that the press corps has shared with all of us in the media, accompanying the president out here, besides Congressman Andre Carson, besides Senator Lugar, is also Valerie Jarrett, who I know you know. So you need to send Valerie a note saying, come on, sister girl.
Okay, I thank you for that information. I will get my pen and pencil out now. Thank you, Amos. Thank you.
I've made your day productive.
Absolutely.
Thanks. State Senator Early Rogers from Gary. Also over here, because she's here to see, because the boss is in the House, Kathleen Falk, who is the regional director of Department of Health and Human Services. And if we're sitting here on the 6th, that means the deadline is the 15th.
Yes, sir. You have done such a great job educating everybody in southern Indiana about this incredible opportunity to get health insurance.
And I understand our numbers are up, and that's even before the expansion of Medicaid.
Yes, it's all good news for hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers who now can get affordable care either through Medicaid expansion or through the marketplace.
All right, so now if people can still go to healthcare.gov, and we'll see how good you are out here in all of this madness, to know the toll-free number.
1-800-318-2596.
Kathleen Falk, the Regional Director of Health and Human Services. Always good to talk to you. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are out here in I don't know whether this room has an official name. But now they're... Oh, this is fun.
Keep your person.
So while I'm standing here, there's a bunch of folks that are getting... I don't know whether this is a shift change or they're feeding people. And what all of this is... Y'all going to get free lunch? Is that what this is about? Yeah, sure. They're getting ready to move a bunch of VIPs in.
Yes, please leave as much stuff as possible.
In front. I get the feeling they're going to get something to eat. which is definitely more than we've had out here. 239-1310, 239-1310. The president is expected to speak a little after 2 o'clock, maybe more towards 2:15, 2:20, make some short remarks. And then the president will be taking questions from a combination of students here at Ivy Tech and maybe members of the public that are here. And there's all kind of folk over here. This is like a who's who of Indianapolis and Indiana on a bipartisan basis, a multipartisan basis. And now they're moving all these VIPs out again. I hope they're going to get fed. I really hope they're going to get something to eat. Tom Snyder, I think they stopped you, and I don't want to hold up the line. How important is Tom Snyder, of course, the president of Ivy Tech, how important is this today?
This is great for the state.
We can kind of walk down this way and not be there. Go ahead.
So we're really pleased that he's here. We've been talking about what to do about lowering the cost of college for a long time, and Indiana's been a leader in that.
Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things is dual credit for all high schoolers for free, the accelerated program. When they see it on TV, most of the students behind the stage are in a one-year accelerated program, and they can get their two-year degree in 12 months.
When you told them they would have an opportunity to see the sitting president of the United States and maybe ask a question, what was their reaction?
Well, they screamed and yelled. They were so excited. In fact, I think they're really excited today.
All right, I'm going to let you go with everybody out there. 239-1310, 239-1310 is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. Tanya Bell, president of Black Expo, is here. There's a whole lot of folk that are here to see the president. The crowd is about 250 to 300 packed into this ballroom on the second level at the Ivy Tech Conference Center and Culinary Center, formerly the old Stouffer's Hotel. Jeff Fanter is with Ivy Tech, and he's eagerly talking to a media person. But if I can just interrupt her for a second, because this is live radio. The room is set for how many people?
About 225.
And how many students?
There's 80-plus students here.
And do we know whether the president is going to take questions from just students or alternate?
I don't. I believe in a town hall setting, he'll take questions from a variety of different audiences.
And this building, for listeners that aren't familiar with, they maybe remember the old Stouffer's Hotel, and then it was some other, you know, some strange things over the years. When did Ivy take possession, and what actually happens in this building now?
So we did it about 5 years ago, and actually what's in here is probably one of the most state-of-the-art culinary schools in the Midwest, maybe even the nation. So our culinary school's in here. We actually have a restaurant on the top floor in the penthouse that's run by our students. In addition to that, our corporate college offices are in here, and there's some other classrooms.
And when you go to the restaurant here, which is open to the public, they have glass windows where you can see the students make the food.
Yeah. Of course, this is the name of the restaurant. Glass windows see the students, and honestly, probably the best view of the city skyline when you look outside to see that there's no other building in the city that you can see the city skyline like you can of courses.
Even though this is a community college for the people of the state of Indiana, Ivy Tech's name is going to be seen literally around the world. How important is that to the image of this institution?
Well, I mean, it's important, but as I've said to others, I mean, what's most important is our students are going to be able to here to experience it, and people are going to see our students in the background. I think that's what we're most proud of. Certainly, it's great to get our name out there, but our students is what we want to get our name out there for.
And I hear they are really pumped.
They are. Actually, I talked to a couple of them yesterday, and some of them talked about this is going to be the greatest moment of their life to be able to see a president. So, yeah, they're excited.
Jeff Fanner with Ivy Tech, 239-1310. 239-1310 is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are live out at Ivy Tech. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more as we await the arrival of the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and his remarks and town hall here at Ivy Tech. It's about middle-class economics. That's the big, huge sign that you'll see behind the president when you see all the video today. It's Afternoons with Amos, special edition after these.
Hello, this is Sheriff John Layton, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
whenever a president of the United States visits any city, it is a maximum effort by all of the men and women of law enforcement across, whether their color of their uniforms are blue, black, or brown. Chief Rick Height of IMPD is in the house. The president has landed at Indianapolis International Airport. Even though he left 20 minutes later than the original scheduled time, he landed slightly earlier than the time. So he must have had the headwind of life, Chief.
Well, Air Force One moves extremely fast, Amos.
Let me first say congratulations to particularly the detectives at IMPD and others. You all have had some great victories in terms of finding evidence of alleged wrongdoing.
Well, we're thankful for the great detective work and also the prosecutors, and most importantly, our forensics team with Mr. Miller and the whole team effort, citizens involved, clergy, all we're involved in making sure we bring this to justice.
Is it your perception that the amount of community cooperation to your detectives, to law enforcement, is increasing? Let me pause just for a moment.
I pledge
the flag.
Which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sarah Tatnall to sing the national anthem.
Our national anthem.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Let's start a little bit of the program, starting with the Pledge of Allegiance and with the national anthem. We have not yet seen the traveling press corps that comes with the president, and that's the signal that he is very, very close to the building. But going back with Chief Rick Height, is it your perception that we're getting more community, your guys and ladies are getting more cooperation?
It's unprecedented cooperation, Amos. We're really proud of our community in the sense that we recognize your life matter, my lives matter, all lives matter, and the community has shown that by coming forth, providing information, sharing tips, very honestly in many cases. But just the fact that we've seen a resurgence of energy in walking the community, talking to people, being more involved, being more invested, we appreciate that.
We have gone, is it 14 days, 16 days, knock on wood, with no homicides? That, I don't know whether that's a record, but that's different.
Well, the message, I think, is getting out there. The lives matter, and you're right. We're on the right path right now, and we're going to continue to do that. But I think it's important to note that the community gets it. Even when we talked to our ex-offenders, they were even tired of some of the violent episodes they were hearing in our community. Some of our children were being victimized quite often, Amos, and we're out to recognize that's not what we do here in Indianapolis. And, yeah, I think it's important that the community continue to support the effort.
Speaking of children, you're still wanting people to call Crime Stoppers at 262 tips about whoever fired that shot out of that SUV up off of 71st and near Michigan Road that wounded a 9-year-old selling Girl Scout cookies.
Who harms a young lady out selling Girl Scout cookies in our community? That's a travesty. So we want, yes, 262 tips. Come forward with information. Let's bring this to justice as well.
And if there are people listening in their cars and all of a sudden they stop and they see police officers say you can't cross this street for a little bit, have patience because that means a VIP is coming through.
Well, we're honored to have the president come to town. How often do you have an opportunity to have the president come to your one of the institutions of learning in your city? So, yes, be patient with us. It won't be long. He'll be in and out. But, again, it's important to make sure that we protect him and the legacy of his office.
All right, IMPD Chief Rick Hyde, appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are out here at Ivy Tech. We'll take another break. We're trying to get caught up on our commercial breaks before the president arrives here. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We'll be back with more after these.
Hello, this is King Ro Conley, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Well, it was fun while it lasted, being out in the sun, out where the people were, but now they told me that the traveling press is on their way, and now they've stuck me back where the print media is, and radio, come on, I was getting ready to give the Fort Wayne newspaper big free publicity. Nikki Gellers with the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, how many of these have you covered?
Too many to count.
What do you expect to hear from the president today?
I think we're just going to hear him pitch his two-year plan. And, you know, it's a very intimate setting. It's one of the more intimate settings I've seen him do here in Indiana, at least. So it'll be interesting to see him interact with the crowd.
And it's an interesting mix as I've looked at the crowd between students at Ivy Tech and a bipartisan group of A-level, really serious A-level folks in the state of Indiana, not just Ivy Tech trustees.
Yeah, I've seen faces out here I haven't seen in quite a while, but we've pulled all the big names out for this one.
I've been asking, you know, some of the officials here the importance of a president of the United States coming to a community college, particularly one that has had so much growth and I think is a measure of pride all across the state.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ivy Tech's the biggest, one of the biggest, it might be the biggest community college systems in the nation. So it makes sense for President Obama to use this as an example, but I do think, you know, sort of the Republican officials in the state are saying, hey, we made this all on our own. We don't, you know, we don't need the federal government telling us how it works.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
I think that's their point.
It's going to be, and it gives you a day off from the legislature because this has been a very intense week.
It is, but there's never a day off. I had to be in at 8 a.m. this morning to write my religious freedom bill story so I could then be here.
What is that exactly? Because there's, it hasn't, if from your point of view, because there's a lot of people of faith that listen to our radio station, this program. In a nutshell, what is this bill? What would it do?
I think a lot of us are still trying to figure it out. It portends to protect religious freedom so that people, you know, the government can't tell them to do something that is against their religious beliefs. But I think there's a lot of concern about sort of the unintended consequences of that and whether it's just another way to sanction discrimination.
Could one of the negative effects be that if all of a sudden there's a denomination in schism, or division, you know, there could be the kinds of negative things that aren't supposed to happen in companies in terms of how personnel are treated.
I'm not sure about that sort of specific issue, and that's part of what we're going to hear on Monday at these hearings, because there's a lot of talk about, like, if a government can't tell a church to do something, but I think the more interesting topic will be sort of interpersonal reactions. You know, if someone goes to a business and they get denied service, that would... You know, whether human rights ordinances would cover that.
Yeah, that sounds like a mess. Nikki Kelly with Fort Wayne Journal, because she's getting ready for the president to come here. He has landed at the airport, or at least that's what we've heard, that he has landed at the airport. So we expect to see the traveling press barge in here at any moment. We'll take a break because what we're trying to do is get ahead of the commercial break so that when the president starts speaking, we want you all to hear his remarks in its entirety. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are live from Ivy Tech, the old Sofers, the Ivy Tech's community college. They have just put up the official presidential podium, and they have put the official presidential bottle of water on the... It must be near. When they put the presidential bottle of water on the stool and the seal goes up, It's only minutes away. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We're live from Ivy Tech after these.
WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are live out at Ivy Tech. We are awaiting the arrival of the President of the United States. Earlier, about 10 minutes ago, a number of VIPs, including the Lieutenant Governor, as well as the President of the City County Council and others, were ushered out of the room. Presumably, they are the welcoming committee when the President arrives here in the Ivy Tech Conference Center and Culinary Arts Building in the old Stouffer's Hotel in the 2800 block of North Meridian Street. Meanwhile, White House aides have put the seal of the President of the United States on the podium. It is a shorter podium, and you'll see it on the video pictures. It is also, then they've also, there's a podium that the President will stand on. There is also a stool with a microphone and a bottle of water that the President will use for the town hall meeting. This is a town hall setup. There are Ivy Tech students that are seated behind the President, and then there's also Ivy Tech students that are seated to the President's right, to, if you're when you're watching the replay, to the left of your television screen. And it is expected that the President will talk about middle-class economics and his proposal to improve the quality of life for the middle class in this country. Part of that proposal includes talking, providing a community college education at no cost. And the proposal would have some federal dollars, would have some state dollars. This is a proposal that is copied from a proposal that Tennessee did at the President's proposal, but Tim Berry, who is the head of the Indiana Democratic Party, forgot that Indiana funds, in essence, free tuition for persons who attend Ivy Tech who are under the 21st Century Scholar Program. And it's amazing what happens when you have a selective memory. Anyway, the President landed maybe 1 or 2 minutes before 1:30 this afternoon. He originally was scheduled to leave Pfeiffer, also Valerie Jarrett, who really is one of the closest aides to both President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. They're accompanied by several other aides as well. And as they come down here, it's going to be interesting to hear the tone of the President's remarks today here at Ivy Tech, as well as what the President talks about in terms of the unemployment numbers. The national unemployment rate for January was 5.7%. That's up by 0.1% from 5.6% in December. However, the number of Americans employed went up to 148,200,000, up from 147,442,000 in December. African American unemployment actually went down to 10.3% in January. This is on a national basis, down from 10.4% in December. A year ago, January, African American unemployment was 12%, with 145 million Americans employed, 10.3 million unemployed, and currently the number of Americans unemployed is 8.9 million. So there's been a substantial reduction in the number of unemployed in this country, according to the national statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics released monthly, and the President may touch on that this. The other subjects that we may have time to get your reaction occurred a little after 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, when literally 26 hours on this program on Wednesday, we're talking about Deputy Mayor Olgin Williams, the Deputy Mayor announced that he would not seek the Republican nomination for Mayor of Indianapolis. That was when we interviewed the Deputy Mayor on Wednesday. He had not yet filed his documents to be a formal candidate, and he kind of hedged around that question when I asked him directly whether and when he would file his paperwork. And then late yesterday afternoon, a little after 5 o'clock, came the word that Olgin Williams would not be a candidate for mayor of Indianapolis. And you may want to react to that at 239-1310, 239-1310. Given the reaction that listeners had when Olgin Williams was on the air on this program on Wednesday, there was a number of people that called in that were sympathetic to a candidacy for mayor of Olgin Williams, and several callers said that they were going to vote for him if he stayed in the race. And be curious, what is your reaction now that a day and a half, almost 2 days later, Olgin Williams says, even though he announced his candidacy on Dr. Martin Luther King Day, January the 19th, then on February the 5th said, no, I've changed my mind, prayed over it, and this is not the time to do it, and I will continue as deputy mayor until the end of the Ballard administration at the end of the year. 239-1310, 239-1310. You may have reactions to that. You may have been somebody that was enthusiastic or excited about Olgin Williams running for mayor. You might have felt that he might have been a good mayor, a great mayor, or you agreed with his conversation on this program on Wednesday that he, you know, had the skills and the background and the experience. That's some of the things that he stressed, that he knew and understood neighborhoods here in Indianapolis, and that this was a job that he could handle, that he could do. And he even told the Indianapolis Star bluntly that the endorsed candidate of the Republican Party for mayor, Chuck Brewer, did not have the experience and the expertise, and that did not have or could not get support within the African-American community. The other thing that you may want to comment on at 239-1310, Reverend Charles Harrison, who late last year set up a exploratory committee in December to explore running for mayor, either as an independent, possibly as a libertarian, though the independent candidacy is probably the preferred option. He suspended his campaign on Dr. King's Day when he heard that Olgin Williams would be running in the Republican primary for mayor, saying that if Olgin Williams ran for mayor, that's a person that he could support. Now that Olgin Williams is out, we have not yet heard from Reverend Charles Harrison whether he's going to reinstate his candidacy and look toward the independent option. In order to do that, he's got to get at least 3,000 signatures on a petition. In order to get, and that's 3,000 signatures of registered voters registered at their actual address where they're currently registered, not where they may have been registered 4, 5, or 6 years ago. And in order to do that, you almost have to get double the number of required signatures, and that would be somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 signatures on petitions. It is possible to do. It is not an impossible task. But many people think that that is... takes a lot of work and a lot of organization to achieve that objective. So Olgin Williams is out. Reverend Charles Harrison may be in the mayor's race. Obviously, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde on the Republican side, she was the first candidate in. She has been very firm in that she is in it all the way. She feels very strongly that she's the only candidate who is a native of Indianapolis, and she feels very strongly that she can do the job, and that that she's going to be out there campaigning in all parts of the county to get votes to possibly be successful in the Republican primary come May. But again, it's really going to be, I guess, interesting if she can make that happen. There's now two other Republicans who have filled out forms to apply for mayor, to run for mayor. We don't know whether they have... Oh, possibly! We don't... Trying to get the attention of Councilor Osley. He's trying to, I think, go to get his seat because we're getting close to time a little bit around 2 o'clock. 2 minutes before 2 o'clock. It is WTLC AM Indianapolis. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, where we are now in a slight waiting game, waiting for the arrival of the President of the United States, expected in the House literally at any time in terms of providing that, you know, to be here at this special edition. We'll take another break as we try to get ahead of our commercial obligation, so we will, you know, be able, once the president gets here, so you'll be able to hear all of that. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for this Friday. The second visit, the first visit of a president of the United States in 4 years, the last time was here in the capital city, was to give an address out at Allison Transmission out in Speedway, out on West End Street. At that time, the president was talking about improving America's manufacturing expertise, particularly in the automotive industry. And again, there's speculation as to whether this will be the last time Barack Obama makes any kind of appearance here in Indianapolis during his term. And in part of what's driving that is the fact that he hasn't, you know, made an appearance here in 4 years. His last appearance in Indiana was last fall, speaking at an African-American owned business down in Princeton, Indiana, one of the top African-American businesses in the country, a steel distribution plant. Again, we'll take a break as the President of the United States is en route from Indianapolis International Airport here to the Ivy Tech campus, and in a matter of minutes, he will take the stage here at this university. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. As we await the President, we were mentioning earlier about a press conference that was held en route on Air Force One. This is courtesy of what is called the Travel Pool. That's the group of journalists that travel with the president wherever he goes, both in Washington as well as in travel. And we were trying to see, you know, what other information was talked about on one of the things that the assistant press secretary talked about. He's talking about the president's budget that he introduced earlier this week, as well as the proposals that he made in the State of the Union, and then including the one regarding free community colleges. He said that he has been in touch with various lawmakers, but could not provide any examples of specific calls. The Assistant White House Press Secretary, Mr. Schultz, we are absolutely in touch with House members, Senate members, and their staffs of both parties. Mr. Schultz also said that while the free community college proposal has garnered bipartisan support across the nation, he could not say if there were any specific Republican members of Congress that had signed on yet. And obviously that is one of the major ports of discussion once the president arrives here. And it looks like some of the VIPs that had been escorted out have now been escorted back in. So either A, they had lunch, and they didn't offer us any of the members of the media any of that lunch, or things are coming very, very close to time. The original time of the program here was scheduled to be 2:15, and we expect now to be very close to that particular timeline. So, Drew, what I want to do, let me kind of take one more break, and I think then we'll be in reasonably good shape for when the festivities really start here. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. President of the United States remarks literally moments away. So stay tuned. Call a friend. Tell a friend. Tweet them. Put them on Facebook. Tell them the president's about to hit the house here at Ivy Tech. More after these.